verses to do today. We started last week in a series on 1 Peter, and there's been a wonderful spirit here, and we're already celebrating our love for the Lord and for each other, and that fits in very well with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And I didn't know I was going to have a shorter sermon today, but I was glad that it worked out that way because I wanted to give our folks an opportunity to share with you about the last couple of weeks. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we will look at verses 3 through 5. Let me just read them for you very quickly. He's talking about a heavenly inheritance, okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. As Peter starts out his letter here, he is actually giving a doxology as a means of encouraging the people living in that area because of the tremendous persecution they were going through under Nero. And I wanted you to help me to introduce the sermon by singing a doxology. And I think we've heard enough today that we should sing it with some gusto. Can you do that for me? You know, we can do it. We can do it a cappella, Van, unless you got it up in your head. Okay. You all know it by heart? I hope most of you do. Okay, you let me know when you're ready.
Ready.
Okay, let's go. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Great job. Thank you and be seated. That's actually what he was doing. He was trying to encourage the Christians to praise God. And there's three things that we can praise God for this morning in addition to the things that we already have. First, we can praise the Lord for entrance into his family. That's what he's talking about in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the King James Version says, has begotten us again, which means to be born again. It means that when we are born again, we have a decisive life transformation. Otherwise, salvation represents a new birth. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave him right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So when we are born again, we are born of God. Salvation represents a new birth, a changing of who we are. Salvation makes us dead to sin and alive to righteousness in Christ. And then Peter links our salvation, as he says here in verse 3, to what he termed a living hope. And that hope he had in mind is the eager confident expectation of life to come to eternity. Otherwise, hope means confident optimism. And the ushers will be giving you out a slip of paper because I put this together after I'd already done my PowerPoint because I found this information that I thought was great. And it lists the reason that hope means confident optimism for the Christian. For instance, we can be optimistic about the hope that God gives us because it comes from God. It's a gift of grace. It is defined by Scripture. And there are seven other things on this list. So you'll get this to take home because I think it's significant in those days that you might be feeling discouraged or overwhelmed or facing a crisis. You can pull that out of your Bible and read about why we can have hope optimistically in God. So our hope is a living hope because it finds its focus in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And of course, we know that Peter's life has been changed by the risen Christ. Secondly, not only can we praise the Lord for entrance into his family, but we can praise the Lord for the family inheritance. Verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So this inheritance that all of us who are Christians are going to receive is an inheritance that Peter says is imperishable, that is undefiled, that is unfailing. Another way of saying those three words, or unfading, is that we have an inheritance that is untouched by death. Otherwise, it is death-proof. We have an inheritance that is unstained by evil, which means it's sin-proof. We have an inheritance that is unimpaired by time because it's time-proof. Inheritance emphasizes the believer's eternal home in heaven. Now, notice that he says in verse 4 that it is protected by the power of God. Some of you that use the Explore the Bible for your Sunday school lesson talked about the power of God today. And the word literally here means kept or reserved, which is another way of saying to God, to guard. God himself has reserved the inheritance in heaven for believers, and it continues to be in heaven reserved for us. Otherwise, God's guarantee of our inheritance is better than any bank can give us in our investment, because it is imperishable, it is undefiled, it is unfading. And so we need to understand. Remember last week when we started our study on 1 Peter, that he was writing to a church that was suffering tremendous persecution under the emperor Nero. So what he's saying here in verse 4 is that the difficulties that you and I experience cannot not undermine the certainty of our coming inheritance, no matter how difficult life might get for us, especially as we try to stand for the Lord, as we try to live out our Christian life in this difficult world of us, that nothing can take away the inheritance that God has already planned for us. That Christ's glorious companionship, that his rewards, and all else that God has planned for you and I is a part of the Christian's heavenly inheritance. So Peter was emphasizing in the strongest possible words the security and certainty of the reward that is awaiting believers. Third and last, we can praise the Lord for family security. Verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So God guards you and I, guards his children by his great power. Now, notice here that security of God's people, our security, depends on God and not us. Aren't you grateful for that? Amen. If you had to depend on me for all your security, you'd be very disappointed. But we don't have to depend on ourselves or other people for our security because God's already taken care of it. God guards and watches over our salvation and our inheritance. We are shielded by God's power. We are cared for by God the Father. God secures his salvation for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. And we also notice that salvation in the New Testament was used to describe a person's initial conversion to the process of getting to the finished product or to the consummation of salvation in heaven. So, as you probably have heard many times before, we have been saved, we're in the process of being saved, and we will continue to be saved until Jesus comes back again. And he secures that for us. Our continued faith in God is the evidence of God's keeping power. At the time of our salvation, God energizes our faith and he continues to preserve it. And the neat thing about saving faith is that it is permanent. It never dies. That genuine faith persists until the day of redemption. And the day of redemption is when Jesus returns and we are raptured and go to be with him in glory for all eternity. And we also need to understand that God's power does not shield us from trials and suffering. We're still going to go through those. But it does protect us from that which would cause us to fade away. So what do you think would prevent us from maintaining our allegiance of Christ until he comes back again? What is one word that you would say prevents us, that would cause us to fade away and as we Baptists call it, backslide from God? Sin. Sin. And over 50 plus years in the ministry, I've had many people that I've watched go through suffering and trials and tribulations that fade away, that backslide. They get angry at God. As long as things are going well and they don't have to make much effort in living life, God's great. But just let something bad happen to them or to a family member, and all of a sudden, God's not so good. And they get angry and they get disappointed in God. And those people who fall out of God's will and leave the church because of suffering or trials are very, very difficult to get back in church. And they blame God for the way that things are. So God's power to be effective at all must guard us from sin and unbelief. But notice, as we finish this short sermon, that in verse 5, we are given a glorious promise. It tells us that God's power protects us because his power is the means by which our faith is sustained. God's power protects us because his power is the means by which our faith is sustained. Our relationship with God, as we grow more like Christ, is just a foretaste of that salvation which will be revealed when Christ returns. So those times in your life when you just feel God's blessing, you're on top of the mountain, everything is great, you're praising the Lord, folks, that is just a minute foretaste of what glory is going to be about and when Jesus comes again. And we need to remember that when we're going through trials and tribulations. So why did Peter give the doxology first. Notice that before he talked about the suffering that these Christians under Nero were going through, what did he do? He prays God for his blessings. That's significant. And so, if I could be just quite honest with you, there are a lot of Christians today who need to have an attitude adjustment. And perhaps there are a lot of Christians today that need to learn the doxology first before they sing "Trials Dark on Every Hand." Now, somebody's probably going to come up to me after church and say, "Well, then let's start our service off every Sunday with a doxology." Maybe that won't be such a bad idea, would it? But we need to understand that regardless of what happens to us here on this earth, you remember Peter said we are aliens, we're strangers. This earth is not our final resting place. It is not our permanent home. And so whenever we're faced with trials and tribulations and life has become difficult, we need to learn to sing the doxology first. Remember God's protection and his care and his love for us before we do anything else to deal with those trials and tribulations. Let's pray.